Standout with Ian O'Connell on Radio Kerry.
Now, you're very welcome to the show tonight. I hope I find you well on this Wednesday evening. Before we start, I just want to say a massive, massive congratulations to the ladies' camogie team and the football team. The Kerry ladies' football and the Kerry ladies' camogie. They done unbelievable the weekend, and they done all of us proud, themselves and their family and friends proud above in Croke Park. And hopefully that they'll be in another final later on in the year, please God. So a massive congratulations to them. I suppose the camogie team putting, I suppose everybody thinks of, when they think of Kerry, they think of football, not hurling or camogie. So well done to them, and hopefully they showed a few people up the country that we're not a one-trick pony, as they say. We can play hurling as well. I'm delighted to say that my guest this week on Standout with myself, Ian O'Connell, is Kerry ladies football legend and recently retired primary school teacher, Mary Jo Kern. Mary won an impressive 10 All-Ireland finals and has 11 All-Stars to her name. The women, whose sporting achievements matched and in some cases exceeded their male counterparts, their names are less known, their stories even more. Her performance at centre forward and midfield for Kerry during the golden age between 1982 and 1993 were a major factor in the team's success. Sit back and enjoy the show. Mary Jo, thanks a million for joining me today. How are you keeping?
I'm good, Ian. Thank you very much. I couldn't say no to you.
Thanks a million. You said you talked to a spawman for half an hour.
I told you that my mother came from Lissavigeen in Spa, so I couldn't say no to a fella from Spa, and any time Beaufort played Spa, we had no doubt where our loyalties lay. It was always Spa, so I couldn't say no to you.
Would you remember playing Spa, say, with the club underage?
Do you know, I never actually played underage. We didn't have an underage club set up when I started off playing football. I kind of started it with a senior team, and I coached teams against Spa, right, and I'd have coached even the boys' teams in both for their under 10s and 12s for a good few years, and we'd have played Spa, but we'd always have a great old relationship between the two clubs.
Really? So it wasn't a bitter rivalry, so?
Absolutely not, and I've a good friend over there. I taught him in Glenbeg National School, Pat Murphy, and he's doing good work over with the underage and Spa at the moment, so.
He actually was my trainer before I had my accident.
Was he? A good club man. A loss to Glenbeg, Clincare, I suppose, but a good man for whatever club he ended up in.
He is. He's a lovely man as well, isn't he?
He is.
I like to bring on my guest back to the start before, just to paint a picture for the listeners. Do you want to just, what was your childhood like growing up? Do you want to bring me back to that growing up as a child?
I don't mind, Ian. I suppose I grew up in a townland called Cairnahon in Beaufort, and we were very lucky. We had four, I suppose, neighbours there. We had Coffees, O'Connors, Doyles, and ourselves, the Kerns, and between the four houses, there was something like 25 or 6 children growing up together, so there was never a shortage of people, footballers or whatever sport we wanted to play, like just friends. We grew up together and we played together every evening once the jobs were done on the farm at home. There was always plenty of people to play, whether it was a game of football or a game of soccer, or if there was hurling or tennis, whatever was on the television, we were playing. And just growing up together, I suppose, it's like a community in the parish of Beaufort, like, which was a small little townland, but we had great friends. So we grew up there, and it was a neighbour of mine there, Noreen Coffey, was playing football, and she just asked me would I join us, say, when I was in about first year or second year in secondary school. There was no such thing as, like I said, underage football at the time. So Noreen was playing with Clown Rangers, and I went away down. We cycled down there 5 or 6 miles to training and to matches. So, like I said, not too many people know, but I started my playing career with Lone Rangers.
Lone Rangers, and you when Beaufort got, when they gathered a team up along the ranks, you came back to them then, did you?
I did, Ian. Look, I suppose I have a good friend there, Nora Hellesy, and my sister Phil and Noreen. There were a good few of us going down to Killardine. So eventually, like I said, it was always our dream maybe to start off a team in Beaufort, and once we had enough, we knew we'd recruit a few more. We got our club going in Beaufort and got involved in coaching underage, and just to make sure that there'd be a bit of continuity there. And it's gone from strength to strength, really, now, the ladies' football in Beaufort. But it was always the dream that we would have our own club in Beaufort.
It's amazing to see the progress in ladies' football and I suppose just sports and sports in general. You played basketball as well. Did you? What secondary school? Or you went to Milltown Primary or Secondary, was that?
Yeah, no, I went to National School in Cullinane. And I went to Presentation Secondary School in Milltown then. And that's where I learned to play basketball. And really, this was, it was the first competitive games we played. And I absolutely loved it. Mr. O'Reilly taught us, but we had Sister Canisius was one of my teachers at the time, and every Monday morning I'd come in, she'd be asking us if we had a football match, how did we get on, and if we had basketball. She had great interest always in sport, and I thought it was great, because back in those days, I suppose the lads had the football to play, but there weren't that many opportunities for girls. So I would say that just the school there, secondary school in Milltown, would be a huge factor in kind of, I suppose, introducing me to sport competitively, and just the benefits of playing sport. And I played basketball there, as I say, and then I joined the KCYMS, the basketball club in Killarney, and we had absolutely fantastic times there, going away to tournaments and blitzes at weekends and playing competitions. So I loved it. So it was Pres Milltown, really, that's I would credit for my involvement in sport to this day.
Very good. Back then, when you were, I suppose, around that age, what was your, like you said, the four farms around you, and you'd play in the evenings. What's your first memory of football in general? Was it watching it, going to matches, or what was your first involvement and memory of football?
The earliest one would probably be watching Kerry on television back in the 70s, watching them, say, in the 1970s team, watching them. And then with Beaufort, Beaufort had an unbelievable team there in the 70s and 80s when Jack McGrath came to our parish. Like, there was a history and a tradition of football in Beaufort always, but once Jack came, he played for a couple of years and then trained, became manager of the team. He was chairman of our club, and he's still looking after our pitch. But he was such an asset to Beaufort, and he did so much for them. And they were the best, the strongest team in Midkerry there during the lot of the 1980s, until the Lone Rangers, our neighbours, came along and took over. But going to see that Beaufort team playing and watching Kerry on television, I'd say, was the first thing, and then going to see that Beaufort team playing. You know, you get a love of it, and just a love of your club as well.
Absolutely, like you said, if there was hurling on the telly, you'd be playing hurling at home, and vice versa, whatever sport it was. After you were finished in Milltown, in the presentation, you went on to Mary Eye, did you?
That's it, yeah, Mary Eye, and again, there was no organised football, actually, Ian, at college level. No, I just think the girls are so lucky,
really,
though, that they have that. But we had basketball competitions, all right, and we were playing the local league in Limerick, and I became friendly, I suppose, with a few people there in Limerick, and I played National League basketball with them then for a couple of years with Marathon Basketball Club in Limerick. And from there, I joined Lee Strand then after that, and oh, they were great days. Like, I absolutely loved the basketball. And I see there aren't too many players now. I mean, Emma Sherwood, Louise Gallivan did it for a while. Emma Sherwood did it up to very recently. Emma played basketball at Super League level, and she's back with the Kerry Ladies. So it's not easy now. It was easier in those days because we used to do the off-season work that the players are expected to do now, and that they are doing, say, in the gyms and everything else like that. But just to go from basketball in the winter to football in the summer, I was happy out. I was playing the whole time, so I loved it.
Kind of varies the difference now during the off-season. They're in the gym, and it's a lot different. When I suppose he was my second guest when I actually got this show, Kieran Donaghy, and he's obviously a massive basketball man as well, and he said that he finds that basketball kind of helped his skills when it came to football. Would you agree with that? Did you find that?
I'm constantly preaching that, Ian. I think of all the sports that the young boys and girls play now, I just think basketball and football are so complementary to each other. Like the hand-eye coordination, the balance, the vision from the basketball court, it just helps the football so much. And I know a lot of those Kerry fellas back in the four in a row team, Seamus Minehan and all those fellas, they all played basketball during the winter, maybe in local leagues or just in local parish leagues. But I see, like, even if you look at the Kerry ladies captain there last Saturday evening, Sheafra O'Shea, Sheafra's quick hands and her vision, insightful forward, like, definitely the basketball has helped that. She has played international basketball at underage. She has represented Ireland, and I think you can see it in Lorraine at midfield. Like, I just think the two sports complement each other so much, and I'm constantly preaching that to children. Like, we have a great basketball club back in Glenbow now. There's a beautiful new hall there. I suppose it's 12 or 13 years old now, on the grounds of the GA pitch, and I think it has been a huge influence and a huge benefit to the children, the local area. We have a lot of children from Cremorne that come and play with our club and Glenbow, and I just think the two games really complement each other.
It's great to let people know that as well, you know, for young lads growing up to give basketball a shot as well. When you were, like you said, you were in Mary Eye, were you there for many years, Mary?
Yeah, it was 3 years, Ian, at the time. I know it's a 4-year course now, but it was a 3-year course. And I suppose I was probably the luckiest student in Mary Eye when I just qualified at the end of 3rd year. There was a job in Glenbow, and I applied for it, and I got it, and I was just so happy back there. Father Kelly, Father Brian Kelly, and Sean McGillicuddy, Sean was my principal. Father Kelly was the chairman of the board at the time, and I'm forever grateful to the two of them that they just took a chance on a young one just straight out of college, and I got my job in Glenbow, and I enjoyed every minute of my time back there.
Now, if you want to get in contact with me throughout the show with any questions or requests, you can contact me through my email address, ioconnell@radiokerry.ie, or drop me a message on my Instagram, ianoconnell321. We're going to go for a very quick ad break. Don't go anywhere. Lots more to come. We'll be straight back after these.
Stand Out with Ian O'Connell on Radio Kerry.
Now, you're very welcome back to Stand Out with me, Ian O'Connell, here on Radio Kerry. I'm here today with former Kerry ladies football legend Mary Jo Curran. If you're just joining us, the full interview will be up on the Radio Kerry website in the podcast section after the show, or you can now get this show as well as all the shows I've done so far on Spotify or wherever you get your podcasts. Just search for Stand Out with Ian O'Connell. Did you always know that it was, I suppose, teaching that you wanted to go down that road after, later on in your career?
I had no idea, to be honest.
Really?
I was only 16 when I did the leaving, and it was very young. I was just a bare 17 going to college, but I mentioned her already there, Sister Canisius. I remember, I suppose back, that was in the 70s, the early 80s, when you'd be in leaving cert. I know in presentation Milton, and I'm sure other schools would have been the same, but you'd apply for everything. You would apply for the bank, you would apply for nursing jobs, you would apply for college, and just they'd put the application in front of you. And I'll remember Sister Canisius, which was the last day for posting the application to Mary Eye, and she asked me where was mine, and I said I forgot it at home. So she actually sat into her car, went into the presentation in Killarney, and brought one out and put it in front of me, and she said, fill that up there now. And she gave me money to go down and post it. And
are you serious?
I honestly, yeah, only farther. I've no idea where I'd have ended up. I can't even, I think I had applied for science. Like, there were separate applications back in those days. I had applied for science in UCC at the time, and I've no idea where I ended up, but I was so grateful to her always, and I still am, because that was the last day for posting the application to Mary Eye, and only for her. God only knows where I'd be now.
Just goes to show how your road can go down one road about the other. moving on to the sporting career there now, and I'll focus on the team that you played in, because obviously, like you said to me before we went on air, you were one person out of the whole team. What was your first, when I was doing my research, did you lose an under 16 final against Mayo and Athlone? Was that
We got absolutely beaten out the gate. I think the score was something like 4-12 to a point above Athlone. We played Mayo in, I think I was 13, with a young team. And when that didn't put us off, I think nothing would. We went on. We actually won two minor All-Irelands. And
80 and 81, was that?
That's it, exactly. And that team, out of that, I'd say those two minor teams, I'd say 10 or 12 of those players went on and were part of the team that won the 9 in a row All-Irelands.
Really? Like,
absolutely. From the very start, we had a lot of those players. Like, and I suppose that was the beauty of it. And the fact that Mick Fitzgerald, he was just a huge influence altogether there on that team. He was our trainer. And he kind of kept the whole thing together. But he would have been... he actually served as president of the Ladies Association afterwards, but Mick was involved in setting up the Ladies Board in Kerry. And
he was the chairman of the county board.
Chairman of the county board for a number of years, and then he served on Central Council, and he was actually president of the LGFA as well, Ian. But Mick was the manager of that team, and he kind of, I suppose, the two minor All-Irelands were fantastic. There's a fact there that not too many people know. Morris Fitzgerald's sister Cathy was midfield on one of those teams. So I often remind people that she won an All-Ireland medal. He brought the football from her. That she was a famous an All-Ireland medal winner before he ever became famous. But Cathy was a great player at full forward. But like I say, a lot of that team just graduated and went on to play with the senior ladies they knew after that. So it was the core were there from the start.
And like you said, the 10 or 11, whichever, went on to the senior team. And Mick Fitzgerald, I remember I was talking to someone, I forget who it was. It was last year I was talking to, but they said that most of his training sessions, they included the ball, focusing mainly on skills, as opposed to now you see teams, club level and county, they do a lot of running. Did he focus more on ball work?
Absolutely, Mick. I always think he was ahead of his team, really. His like possession, not to be putting the head down and just kicking the ball away. Like he focused on that all the time, and he was very good. The skills, like all we were running without realizing it, because we had the ball in our hands all the time, and it was possession games. Like I used to hate laps of the field for the warm up, and we might do a few laps of the field at the start of the year, and I used to absolutely hate that, but if I had a ball I'd stay running all day. And he was very good, his drills. A lot of teams did it afterwards, but I just think we had the ball in our hand all the time, and it was always about minding it and not just kick it away or kicking 50-50 ball down the field. But we had an exceptional set of forwards as well then. I mean, Marina Barry at number 10. Marina won every one of her All-Ireland medals in the same position. Ogie Morden did it for the men, but we had someone as well, Marina. And like, if you're looking for someone to interview, you should be going after Marina, because she's still playing football to this day inside with Stex. And
serious.
She honestly, like her daughter Caoimhe, Marina Barry Walsh, no, but she's like an absolute role model inside and Tralee. We brought both our senior ladies in to play them last year, and Marina came on. We were in the game and happy out with ourselves and Nicks, and she came on with about 20 minutes to go, and the first two balls she got into her hand, she gave these defence splitting passes that we didn't even see coming, and they were gone two goals up all of a sudden, and that was it. Like, just her presence on the field. So I mean, she's fantastic altogether. But we just had six or seven or eight forwards there in those days that would fit into any team, and she's just one, like you, Riley Lawler, Margaret Lawler. I'm not going to be naming them, because I'll forget someone. They were absolutely brilliant. So it was very easy, give the ball to someone, give the ball to the player in the better position. Mick never wanted people, there was no one keeping track of their own scores. It was always pass the ball to a player if she's in a better position. head up, don't give the ball inside, and don't be going for your own score. Like, it was all teamwork the whole time, and just holding on to the ball like that. And he was very good at concentrating on kick passing as well, like, and the skills that are associated with Kerry football, just a lot more kicking, and that wouldn't have been, like, I suppose we were doing the fitness with the ball in our hand without realising how much running we were doing.
Yeah, and like you said, when I was talking to you before, Aaron, like you said, Mick kind of drilled it into you that it's a team, and you can hear that when you speak, that, you know, yeah, you didn't focus on yourself for the records. It was more of a team that you focused on. Do you think that people realise, because I definitely don't think people do, from, say, the normal Joe Sub on the street, they don't realise the amount of, and even yourself with the background team there, do they realise the amount of commitment and sacrifice that a trainer and a manager does for a football team?
A trainer and a manager, I'll tell you the truth, I didn't realise it myself, Ian, until a couple of years ago there with the Kerry Ladies.
It's huge, isn't it?
I used to go away to all the matches. I'd be sitting in the stand and watching the games. But then Alan O'Neill, when he was manager of the Kerry Ladies there a few years ago, he just asked me would I be a selector for 1 year. So I said, no, I'll stay in the stand and I'll keep an eye on things and if I see something. But he said, no, come on away. He kind of convinced myself and Nora Hellesy as well, because he knew we were going to all the games, which I couldn't believe it's the amount of time. And I know the saying goes for every manager, but that was the first time I actually saw, it's not just the Sunday morning and the Wednesday evening and the Friday evening, all the work he was putting in, the analysis, the video analysis, the preparation, the contacting the players, the backroom team. I couldn't believe it, the amount of work and time that it was taking. And I was turning up on the Sunday morning and Wednesday evening and Friday evening from pre-season through season until they were basically out of the championship. But the managers nowadays, there's video analysis, there are gym sessions, there are Zoom meetings, Zoom calls. It's like it's just almost a full-time job, and you really have to be dedicated. And just the times that they're, it was different in our days because there wasn't half as much analysing the opposition. I suppose we were focusing on our own team and trying to improve the whole time, say our skills and our teamwork and different things like that. But the amount of work and preparation that's going in now, Ian, is unbelievable by the manager and the rest of the management team.
It is, and like you said, nowadays the technology and the video analysis and everything coming in puts more commitment on it. After disappointment in 91 and 92, you went on to win the All-Ireland 93 against Laois by 8 points. Was playing Croke Park, that was the first time when you beat Wexford in 86, was it?
That's right.
You won by 6 points, I was reading up. Was that a massive step in regards to the progress in ladies football, the first time playing in Croke Park?
Yeah, it was a huge thing for ladies football, all right. I remember the previous year we had played in Páirc Uí Chaoimh, which was the biggest stadium that we had ever played in. Before that, it was a neutral venue, whatever the halfway point between two counties would be. So I suppose every year it was improving a small bit. So Páirc Uí Chaoimh was actually in 1985. It was a fine day. There was a Cork Championship hurling game on straight away after, so a lot of the crowd had come in. And just I remember that as a big occasion. But then when it was announced it was in Croke Park, it was huge for ladies football in general. Yeah. Mick now wouldn't have left us get distracted by that at all. He would have been very proud himself to see the team run out onto Croke Park, but it was the one thing he was kind of saying, not to let anything like that distract us from the game and the opposition, and just that was just another game. But it was huge for ladies football, Ian. And when you see the marketing that they are doing now and the promotion and the sponsorship they are getting and the crowds, like over 50,000 there at the All-Ireland the last couple of years. But look, it's a great project, and I'm constantly saying that it's even the ladies football, I'd love to see the crowds at the semi-final and the quarter-finals and even the championship games just like the Munster Championship. We'll have three games in the Munster Championship now. Kerry will be playing Tipperary, Cork and Waterford, and say for the home game there, people should just go, these Kerry ladies today, like, they deserve support, they deserve to be supported, like the efforts they're making, the success. I know they've had success now this week, but like, they deserve to be supported by the families out there around the county, and the Ladies All-Ireland itself is just it's a brilliant occasion. Like, it's just a real family day, and I think it's a great occasion altogether. And be hoping we'll be booking a bus for Croke Park this year anyway, because I'm fairly confident that Kerry Ladies will be up there. So
now we're going to go for a very quick ad break. Stay tuned to Radio Kerry. We'll be straight back after these.
Stand Out with Ian O'Connell on Radio Kerry.
Now, you're very welcome back to Stand Out with me, Ian O'Connell, here on Radio Kerry. If you're just joining us, I'm here today with Kerry Ladies football legend Mary Jo Curran.
Like we said there, the ladies football, do you think that getting the over the last couple of years, like the games have been shown, do you think that getting the sponsorship from Lidl and TG Cahir, do you think that that was a good thing for the brand? Because they're Lidl and TG Cahir, obviously, big. Do you think that was good for the brand for ladies football in general?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, the profile has improved so much, but like, the project is good, the brand, like you say, the project, it is good, and it is worthwhile watching. And I think the sponsorship has been crucial, and like, Lidl have been fantastic what they've put into it, but then they have a whole load of associate sponsors now. I mean, you can get, there are insurance companies, there are other companies that you'll get reductions if you're a member of the GEA. So there's a benefit for businesses to be involved in ladies football as well.
How important do you think that club plays in, apart from county, how important do you think club is for, I suppose, for the players' development? And do you think that, I suppose, club is just as important as playing for Kerry in one way?
Well, you see, that's where it all begins, I suppose. And
sometimes, isn't it, they go back playing after county as well.
That's, you see, that's the beauty. Like, even the initiative there, you know, the mothers and others, that's been a great initiative by the LGFA as well. But look, you're talking about club, that's where it all begins. Your school, first of all, the work that Cum and the Munskill are doing around the county, like the work the teachers are doing in the primary schools. Say back 10, 15 years ago, we wouldn't have had as many ladies football clubs in Kerry. But I just think that what Cum and the Munskill have done there in the primary schools, the demand was, the players were there. You had ready-made players, so it was very easy to set up clubs in a lot of areas. It's because of maybe work that was being done in the schools, the clubs. But that's where the friendships begin, and like the sense of belonging and being part of a team, and then that you have a bit of a support network around you, and you have friends around you when you grow up. So the club is where it all begins. And like I say, I started in Long Rangers, but my heart is in Beaufort, and it always will be. And at the end of the day, when you win something with your club, nothing beats that, just winning with the people you grew up with. I know it's a bit of a cliche, but even for myself, the couple of county championships that we won, we lost about 10 of them, but we won 2 in all my playing career, and they would stand out every bit as much as any of the All-Irelands we won.
Hello there, Mary Conroy here, inviting you to join me on Monday evenings from 8 to 10 on Radio Kerry for an eclectic blend of music and song from Kerry and beyond.
Playing with the club as well. It's where it all begins, and that's where they get their, like, all the benefits.
Who would have been the, back when you were playing, when you came back to Beaufort, who would have been the, I suppose, Killarney town outers, the likes of Spa, Legion, Crokes, who would have been the main ladies teams from clubs, say, in Kerry back then? Would there have been only 4 or 5, or would there have been a lot more? But like, as in, like, when I say most popular, say dominant.
100% Castle Island. Castle Island club, they won an All-Ireland club title. They were like kingpins of ladies football in Kerry. And going back to Mary Toomey's time, I mean, Mary Ganey, one of the greatest, probably the, not one of, but the greatest woman in sport that ever came out of Kerry. Like Mary Ganey represented, she has all Ireland medals in Camogie with Cork, ladies football with Kerry. She represented Ireland at hockey, and she's still playing on golf, and like she's unbelievable. Probably, like I said, not probably, she's the greatest sports person, but that Castle Island team we were in, they were Mary Ganey, May Lumber, those girls were on the first Kerry team that won the All-Ireland in 1976. We were in complete awe of those when we'd see them and when we were on the same pitch trying to play against them. So Castle Island, definitely, you would have had a very good team. Us and Sex would have had a good team. And then up around Abbey Dorney, Airtfert, you would have had a very strong team out that side of the country as well.
The Kerry team, now you mentioned it there earlier, Lorraine, that's, I think you said Lorraine, that's a midfield for yes. Kerry. Her mom played with you, did she?
She was brilliant. Like Mary Lane would get on any team that's playing today. Like she was just a brilliant centre back, and she'd just hold the middle of the field, and we were in absolute dead safe hands. And she still has the record for the only lady footballer that has kicked a 45 above and over the bar in Croft Park.
Really?
And the ball was still rising when it was passing the crossbar. It was still rising.
I never knew that.
No, that's a claim to fame, Mary. I don't know. Lorraine hasn't done it yet anyway. I've seen a few players do it at club level, but nobody has ever done it in Croke Park since Mary.
They'll all be flat out to get that record. So do you think that girls these days are getting enough opportunities to try not just football, but do you think that they're getting enough opportunities to try sports at first level and second level in school?
That's a good question. At primary level, I think
it varies in schools, yeah, doesn't it?
Pardon?
It kind of varies, I suppose, in different schools.
Like at primary level, definitely coming on school, like every school in the county is almost playing in that now when they have the numbers. And then you have the mini sevens competition, like we have primary game trials inside in Trillino this evening for the girls and boys that will play at half time, say in the Munster when Kerry are playing Munster championship games. So they've plenty of opportunities, like coming to Munster, just hurling, Camogie, ladies football, and handball. And then you have other organisations as well. Second level is a bit different, I suppose. You're trying to balance the exams and the academic side of things. But look, in the last couple of weeks there, I was up in Fettered in Tipperary watching Pres Milton win their All-Ireland Under-16 title. And, I mean, in girls' football. So the GAA is strong at secondary school level. I mean, for years, we had a lot of players coming in from primary schools going to secondary school, and there was no real structure or organised competition for first years. So I think that kind of has improved a small bit at second level, and there are sports available, but it's not so easy to balance the academic side of things and the sport. But look, now the PE is an exam subject. I think that's brilliant, because I think that Jimmy Dinahan fought for that for years, that it should be an exam subject, and that schools should give, that they should have the PE time available for every student from first year up to Leaving Cert, timetabled every week. And I just think it's hugely important.
And coming into the summer now as well, the VHI summer camps and stuff, that's very important for younger children starting off that want to try hurling and football as well. And before we finish up, Mary Jo, I just wanted to touch on, like you said, you were teaching in Glenbey. As a former teacher, do you think that sports could help Ukrainian children into schools and life in Kerry?
Oh, definitely. I mean, in Mid-Kerry there, no, we run a primary schools competition. The Christian and Organ Mid-Kerry run a primary schools competition after Easter, and we were very lucky to have a few Ukrainian children in our school last year. We still have them here now in Glenbey, in the school in Glenbey. And our new principal, Mr. Keane O'Connor, is getting on great there. But we had a couple of the lads there that were on our team last year, the 11-a-side football team for the competition after Easter in the Mid-Kerry schools. We had games there every Friday for 5 or 6 weeks, and it was great for them, it was great for the school, and it was great for them to get involved. And they'll be of great benefit to society in general, and they're going to help. Like a couple of the lads are going in playing other sports in Killarden as well. The Ukrainian children that are staying in Glenbe, and I know there even during Easter there was a basketball camp organised for all the Ukrainian children in the Mid-Kerry area. So they came from Cremorne, Killarden and Glenbe back to the hall in Glenbe, the fantastic sports hall there, and they had 2 days of just playing basketball and being introduced to it, and the feedback was very positive that they would love to join a basketball club in September, a club in Killarden or the club in Glenbe. So I mean, sport, it's a great way of for children, just to, I suppose, inclusion and just to get involved in their communities.
Now we're going to go for our last ad break. Stay tuned into Radio Kerry because there's lots more to come in the last part of the show. We'll be straight back after these.
Stand Out with Ian O'Connell on Radio Kerry. Stand Out with Ian O'Connell on Radio Kerry.
Now you're very welcome back to Stand Out with me, Ian O'Connell, here on Radio Kerry, the last part of the show. If you're just joining us, don't worry because we got you covered. You can now get this interview straight after the show on the Radio Kerry website in the podcast section, or you'll be able to get it on Spotify or wherever you get your podcasts. Just search for Stand Out with Ian O'Connell.
Like you said, we were talking a while ago about achieving things with the club. Lee Keegan for Mayo, he obviously never won an All-Ireland, but he won the club championship day. And you said, in one way, that's almost as important. Would that win with your club that you said, would that be one of the standout moments of your career above anything to do with the county?
It would, absolutely. Definitely. Winning from a playing point of view, I suppose winning a couple of club titles there, the two county championships, and I'd say definitely the first one we won. I'd say it was the worst game I ever played with Beaufort. I mean, I was hopeless altogether, but we won it, and it would stand out as the greatest memory. And then the couple of All-Ireland clubs with the club, and then just as a spectator, I think probably my two greatest memories are when the Glenbe fellas, behind it, a lot of them had come to our school, I thought, and when Beaufort won the All-Ireland club titles above in Crow Park. And that's like, Sean Kelly is the man just that has to be thanked for that. The fact that every player around the country, you know, and every club footballer at the start of the year, if they're playing the junior championship or the intermediate championship, they have a chance of going on to Crow Park and representing their club and walking out onto the field above in Crow Park. And you know, you'll be so proud when you see your own people from your own club, and you might have coached it under 12, and like, it's very important. Just to, like, I suppose everything comes back to the club, Ian. I'll say, I mean, even the Kerry ladies there last Saturday, there were two girls there, Hannah O'Donoghue and Fianna Tangney, from the Black Valley in Beaufort, probably the smallest school in the country. They got to the Mini Sevens county final the year that they were in fifth class. And just to see players that you had coached representing Kerry playing above in Crow Park, like, there's just an immense feeling of satisfaction and pride when you see that. So it really is, it is all about your own club, isn't it?
It is, absolutely. And like, I'm so lucky that my own club, Spa GA, they treat me like I'm the 16th man on the pitch, you know, there. And that all comes back to community and club, and the way they can include everyone, and they don't leave anyone out. Last question, and I know that I said I wouldn't focus on your career too much. I just wanted to say, in 2013, you were inducted into the Hall of Fame. That was obviously a massive honour, but I heard you in an interview before and you said that the Hall of Fame should be for the people that make it happen. How proud were you though to be involved in it, even though you said it's a team sport?
Look, I genuinely mean this. I was only one player in about 20 or 25 players that went through that whole 9-in-a-row team, and I could start naming them from Kathleen Curran, Bridget Lean, Nora Hellesy, Tess O'Carroll, like our goalie, our full back line, Marion Doherty, our whole team. I could name them for you. I was only one player on that team, so the Hall of Fame. And sometimes the MVP awards and these kind of things, like, not too sure about them, Ian, to be honest. The Hall of Fame, definitely. I think you should go to the administrators and the people that, like, we've got so much, players get so much satisfaction and enjoyment out of playing, not just winning, but just out of playing and being part of a team, which is the people, that the background people that are putting the time in, organising the games, the administrators. I couldn't do a job like that. I mean, I have huge admiration for them, and I genuinely think the Hall of Fame awards could be for people like that, and I mean that. I think the players get so much satisfaction and so much enjoyment other than that.
Absolutely. We had a massive weekend this weekend, and hopefully, like we said, we'll be going up to Croke Park again in a few months' time. How can you see the Kerry footballers doing this this year? Do you think that it's a good year to be a Kerry supporter?
Are you talking about the men or the women now?
The women, right.
Well, the weekend was unbelievable with the Camogie team winning the Division 2 final, and God knows they have a good few footballers as well. They were all part of, a lot of those were playing the county senior county championship final last year. A lot of the Camogie girls. So, like, it was a fantastic weekend for Kerry with winning the National League for the first time. But I remember talking to Dara Long. They hadn't taken over long, and Dara, like, he knew this day was going to happen, and he just believed. And I was thinking, he's very hopeful. I was kind of thinking to myself, but Dara, he knew it. He knew that they had the players, and he knew that it would take a couple of years, but he knew they would get there. And I guarantee you, that was no surprise to him. And that league, that's only a small thing. The championship is what they want to win. And I've every other year, you'll be kind of hoping. You know, we're on the top five or six always. We were on the top two or three last year. This year, Kerry, like, he's right. Kerry have a target in their back now, but Kerry are the best team in Ireland at the moment. And they're going to be favourites. They mightn't be favourites for the All-Ireland, but I think they will win. I can't, the kind of football they're playing, and like, I'm not surprised with the management team that they have, like all the selectors and the whole team they have, they're top class. And they knew this day was coming, and I absolutely believe that Kerry ladies are back and that they're going to win the All-Ireland this year. It's been too long, Ian. We've been waiting too long for this day. We'll be back, and they'll be bringing the Brendan Martin Cup home, and no better woman than she for O'Shea. Did you hear her speech last evening?
To give you a chance on that?
Listen to it. It was an unbelievable speech. She's young, but she's a great captain and a great player.
A wise head on her shoulders. Come here. And like I said, hopefully there'll be the roads are truly ringing out over Croke Park when they're going up the Hogan. Mary Jo, thanks so much for coming on now, and I appreciate your time today.
No bother, Ian, you're very welcome. Thank you very much.
Now folks, that's all we've time for tonight. I hope you all enjoyed the show as much as I did, and I appreciate you tuning in as always. A massive thanks to Mary Jo for coming on today to chat about her own career and to chat all things ladies football in general. If you have any questions or requests for next week's show, you can contact me through my Instagram, enoconnell321, or through my email address, ioconnell@radiokerry.ie. Stay tuned into Radio Kerry, because Brian Priestley is up next with That's Jazz. I'll be back at the same time next week from 8 to 9 p.m. Until then, stay safe and mind yourself.